mountain range.
Wow, another crisp. Another brisk. It's warming up, Bob.
Is it? Will you out?
Yes, I just stepped outside, and I'm very happy to report that it has warmed up considerably.
Nice to see you back again today after the long holiday weekend.
I spent the weekend out at Hampton Beach, Bob.
Did you really? How's the water?
Well, it was cold when you first went in.
Yeah, well, after you get used to it,
after you get used to it, you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Bobby.
It has that certain nothing this time of year. That does something for
you. Well, I'm glad to say that this isn't on the program, Bob. The hideaway announcement will come at 1:29.
Oh, good. Yeah. You're going to do it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Ken and Bill are in fine shape today.
What's that again?
I say they're in fine shape today.
Well, good. Did you have a happy holiday season, Bob? I haven't seen you
since
last
Friday. Yeah.
At the party.
Had a great day, Saturday.
Yeah.
We had a couple of letters this morning about from people who enjoyed the Friday program so much.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, with the
I told you I'm all through here, didn't I?
No, I didn't know you. Didn't know you were one of the ones.
Yes, I'm on trial now.
Yeah.
And
so you're watching your every move.
Every move I'm watching, and I'm not bad to watch either. I'm a pretty interesting character.
I see.
I enjoy watching.
Let me turn the television on and see what's going at Linda's house, shall we?
All right.
The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by E. Carrington Lux. Today, episode 73, chapter 21, book 5, entitled David Meets Edgar. It's late afternoon now as the clock on the mantel strikes 4.
Four o'clock.
This was a gift of their faithful and trusted companion, Sven Svensson, some years back, this clock. And David and Linda think a great deal of it. Edgar is speaking with the man we know only as Charles right now.
So, Charles, I don't know what to think about it.
Well, of course, you only know me as Charles.
That's right. I'm Edward, you know.
I only know you as Edward.
That's right. We've never disclosed our last name.
But about this Edward Merchley?
I think you and I are both working on the same case, but in different directions.
Well,
I have a feeling that you and I don't know each other's last name, Edward.
I don't know your last name.
Do you know Little Lovely?
Never heard of it.
You know David?
Never heard of it. Oh, him.
Do you know Skippy?
Why, of course.
Did you know Edward Merchley has been missing these 8 years in deep
He's
dark...
He's been missing, as I understand it, these past 8 years.
In deep, dark, dank Africa.
Deep, dark Africa, thanks.
That's right. And you have a Merry Christmas?
Had a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Ed.
So did I.
What was your last name again?
Didn't
think you did. You don't know mine either, do you?
No. What is your last name? I didn't catch it.
I beg your pardon. There's the phone.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Who is it?
Yes.
Who is it?
We'll be right there.
Uh-oh, this looks like trouble.
It is trouble, Ed.
Who is it?
They want two detectives.
Uh-oh.
We better get right over there.
That's right. Let's move across town.
What was your last name again?
I didn't say.
Across town at Linda Lovely's house, the clock on the mantel is striking 5.
You mean that took an hour?
Well, time moved rapidly. Linda is speaking with Dave.
David, there are two men whom I know only as Edward and Charles. They keep looking in the window.
What are their last names?
They didn't say, David.
Of what significance are they in our lives?
They're both working at opposite ends on one problem, to find the missing Edward Merchley, David.
Missing these past 8 years.
Oh, my darling.
We know not where.
What darlingness.
All we know is that 8 years ago, Edward Merchley disappeared into the jungles of darkest Africa.
And hasn't returned.
Hasn't returned.
Has left no sign.
Has left no trace.
And until we actually determine that he's dead, David, you and I can never
belong together.
That's the way it is.
And what of Carlotta and the man we know only as Finch?
Carlotta and Skippy are going to be home for New Year's.
And Dr. Prescott, what did he say of all
that? He and Finch have gone on a fishing trip to the mountain country.
As the year ends, David and Linda think over the events which have taken place in the last 11 months. They plan for the future and wonder if they will ever find Edward Merchley missing these past 8 years, along with Carlotta, Finch, but the men we know only as Charlie and Ed.
Tomorrow we'll hear David say,
"Hello, Linda." And we'll hear Linda say,
"Hi."
That's tomorrow on the Life and Loves of Linda Lovely.
So much.
And now, ladies.
Now, ladies, what?
I thought you had the commercial. Didn't you have it there?
Down this corridor.
Oh, no more.
We have Basil, though, haven't we, today?
Yes.
Well, let's listen to Basil.
Hello there. This is Basil Rathbone. If you want a long cigarette, buy the best cigarette. Buy Fatima. First quality for 30 years.
All right. That's exactly what we'll do, Basil. And if we don't hear before the end of the year, happy New Year.
Yeah. We have a bright number from the boys in the band to open the show.
Want to bet?
This is something that they've been begged to record, but as yet they won't get down to it.
All right, what is it? Let's do it. Song of India, Ken and Bill. Say, Bob, what you get for Christmas, anyway?
Oh, got a lot of... I got two new lamps for the front of the car, which I've been needing for some time.
Good for you.
With something that I hadn't seen before, plastic wicks in the thing.
Wonderful.
Which, wait a minute, what did you get?
Oh, I got some locker room aftershave.
That's good.
Let's see, I got a box of Tootsie Roll candy.
Yeah?
I got a carton of Fatima cigarettes.
Well, you made out...
With a large autograph picture of Basil Bathbone.
That's good. You can hang that up in your room, I suppose.
I thought I'd do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what else I got. That's about all.
I got a lot of new, wonderful things.
Somebody sneaked in a bad egg in the eggnog. And that, of course, wasn't a gift.
No.
You didn't get anything. This morning, I mentioned that I was very thankful I didn't get a bobsled. Because of all the things I don't need, it's a bobsled. And whoever didn't send it to me this year, thank you very much. I'm awfully glad you didn't send me a bobsled.
You all done a lot. So did you eat those cookies from the Bit of Sweden?
They're very, very good.
They were very good. Did you?
Yeah, they tasted just like a Bit of Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Swedish
recipe, I imagine.
You mean from George Anderson, our kind host down in Quincy?
Yep. George is a good boy.
So what else is new?
Not very much.
I didn't hear your program the other day, Saturday,
sorry,
before Christmas
didn't.
Day. I meant to tune
Ken
in.
Ken and Bill did, I understand.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, how can they miss sitting here pounding their big, fat fingers all over the...
I know.
No wonder they could play, being so cold out, too.
14 fingers.
How was your car this morning that it turned?
Started like a charm.
How'd it run, though?
Well, it didn't run. It started.
It turned over and everything.
Sure.
How about that?
But after I built that fire underneath it, it went pretty good.
Well, good for you.
How's your car running?
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Start all right this morning?
Well, it was all right.
Uh-huh.
Only had one little difficulty.
What was that?
Trying to push it and get back into the car at the same time is practically impossible, Bob.
It's kind of rough, I know. Yeah,
no, you can't do it, really, unless you go in and get somebody else.
There's no time for that, because we have to go over to the...
I'm up at a very convenient hour, 4:30, and...
Everything is open.
I mean, all the neighbors are up, and
sure.
They come running out to see if they can help. Can I help Ray, you know?
Sure.
So I never have any difficulty at 4:30.
Well, we're going to drop over to the Sturdy School of the Mumbled Word today.
No, we weren't, but we certainly will go if you suggest it, Bob.
We should.
Well, let's go over.
Good work, Ken.
So, here we are at the what, Bob?
The Sturdy School of the Mumbled Word. What
blew
out
right,
there?
Did something blow out here?
I think so.
Well, if we're not on the air, I don't see what's the sense in going on. Going on with this.
It's a camera bug, I guess.
Oh, I see.
Some kind of a bug.
There's something frightening about
but
that.
I'll get it.
Good boy.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, I was going to ask you, did you see, I read somewhere in the paper yesterday, it's an old gag, but it struck me as being very funny, about the two botanists. No, they wouldn't be botanists, would they? Who study bugs, Bob? They do?
Good work, Ken.
These two entomologists...
That's a foot doctor, and you know it.
I never knew an entomologist. Well, these two entomologists were talking, and one said, hey, by the way, Eddie, says, what is that bug with two green heads, a yellow body and purple stripes and 24 legs?
Mm-hmm.
And the other entomologist said, I don't know. He says, I don't either, but you better brush him off your neck. Yeah. And
well,
another thing I'd like to talk friends
I
about.
I saw a very funny one in the paper yesterday myself between Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. Really is quite thin. Bill Green pointed it out to me.
Well,
I wouldn't have seen it myself.
What was that, Bob?
I was reading the financial page.
Yeah, but go on.
Dr. Watson walked up to Sherlock Holmes and said, I say, you're wearing long underwear today.
Oh, yeah.
And Holmes said, you're improving, Watson. He said, how did you make that deduction? And Watson said, you forgot to put your pants on.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty good one.
So long as he keeps his trap shut, everything will be all right.
All that day, I worked my way through the thick pea soup fog music. And at length I pulled up in Holmes's Butcher Street apartment. I rapped on the door, and a strange character, known only to me as Nobody, answered the door.
Hello, come in here.
I say, is Holmes home?
Oh, yes, he's in the library, down this corridor.
I'll follow you. Must be right here, eh?
Right in this room here.
How do you happen to be here? I was expecting to see Holmes.
I work for Holmes.
Oh, I see.
I'm his number one boy, Polo.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll just walk in through this curtain here.
He's expecting you.
You see? But he's dead.
Yeah, I know. I bumped him.
You killed Holmes?
I don't like the way he treated me.
Sherlock Holmes can't die.
Well, he's dead. Go on over and feel his pulse.
By Jove.
There's a Westinghouse blanket if you feel anything.
You're right. He is dead.
This sounds like murder.
Sounds like murder to me. I better try and solve this crime.
Later that evening, in Dr. Watson's apartment, he was describing the crime to a good friend of his, Sir Cecil Sturdy.
Say, I'm a good friend of yours. What about this
You're
murder?
You're a good friend of mine, Sir Cecil.
What about this murder?
Well, I solved everything within a few moments after I found Holmes dead.
drugs or anything.
The culprit confessed when I turned it in. Now, you just...
Bob, we don't have time for this.
I know. No, we've got to...
Today is our annual Monday before New Year's presentation program, and we haven't even started.
I know.
And I think that's very unfair to those who have made it an annual habit for the past 17 years.
Yeah, the program is half over. Thank
you. To tune in for our annual 5 days or so before New Year's program.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Sure.
Why don't we get started before we lose any more time?
And here, friends, to make the award is the well-known resident of Canton, Massachusetts, who...
Well, thank you, Bob, and hello again, radio fans and radio land.
Webley Webster.
I want to present Bob and Ray the annual Canton Award for heroism. And also, I should like to take this opportunity to congratulate both of them. I think they're grand justices.
Well, that's well. We certainly worked hard during this past year, and glad to know that you're
here. So, may I, in behalf of the Canton Improvement Society, award you with this Chrysanthemum Award. Good luck. Wear it in good health, and so long for now, and thank you for listening to me.
Okay.
Good night and 30.
Do you have anything for Ken and Bill and Charlie and...
Well, no, to tell you what, Bob, I don't have no money or nothing. This Improvement Society is strictly on the cuff all the time.
Well,
I'll have to charge you just a nominal fee for the chrysanthemum.
No, you don't charge it.
$2.50.
No.
Well, it cost me $2.15, Bob, and I figured cost there and whatnot.
Well, we didn't ask you for the award. You've pulled this business before.
Yeah, okay, give me back them awards.
Okay, that kind of will it anyway.
I'll give somebody else.
Here
the old fall or somebody.
They come back.
Okay.
Take him over to some other state.
Boy, I'll learn you something.
Okay.
So long and
right
drop on. Dead.
Right. We'll look for you next year.
Yeah, well, I
so
will.
So ends our annual New Year's 5 days.
I think you guys
before.
Are pretty weird anyway. I don't know why I picked you.
Next year, 5 days before New Year's, we'll
if
be
you
with you.
You paid or nothing, you never have anything. Go.
We'll be with you again for our regular holiday presentation.
That's so long.
Ray?
Yes, Bob.
I don't think that's quite fair of him to drop us in early year and do that to you.
Well, I think he's only looking for money. See, nobody else will let him in. This is the only studio with an open door in town. I don't think they could drop in on anybody else in town like that.
I don't believe he could.
I can think of several programs that Webley should drop in on, but they won't let him.
Well, they're smart.
I suppose so.
There he is here, and we're always happy
Bob,
to see
I'm awfully glad to see that this cold snap is... Heated out a little.
Well, I didn't think it's still
I
pretty cold out.
I think it was breezy up Littleton way, you know.
Good it was. Good
oh,
wind,
awful
huh?
cold, yes.
What'd you get for Christmas? Anything interesting?
Oh, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Of course, you know, Sturdley.
Edgar.
Yeah, well, Sturdley, his brother.
Oh.
It was over for Christmas.
Oh, I see.
And they got together.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a fine time, but I wasn't included. And
they
spent all their money... The stores were closed when they started out Christmas Eve to buy presents.
Yeah.
So we got a nice homemade card, a picture of a Christmas tree, and a Merry Christmas.
Well,
in fact, it was Merry Xmas.
Oh, that's too bad that you...
There was no money in clothes or nothing.
Uh-huh. So you didn't make out too well, huh?
Not so well, Bob, but I thought I'd make a appeal to the listeners today.
Yeah? Not for money.
No.
You weren't thinking of that.
Well, if they want to save themselves the bother of shopping, I'll go pick something for myself if they care to send them money.
I don't think you can do that.
I don't care whether they're old billed Bob or brand new.
I don't think you can make an appeal.
Just so long as they're legal tender.
But what I was going to ask you was, do you have any sort of a recipe for a punch for the coming weekend? Mallory. Don't you think you'd have a recipe?
You like you wouldn't have a recipe. Bob.
You
yes, I do. enough. I have something for, I don't know, Bob, I know you don't like it.
Well, neither Ray nor I do.
Well, Ray has never declared himself one way or the other on this imitation grape-flavored drink. The basis of this punch is imitation grape-flavored drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty tasty if you add vanilla extract.
I mean, after all, this is for the listeners. We don't have to use.
Well, the listeners don't have to, Bob. I was giving it to you more than the people listening in.
Well,
if you don't want it, then we'll just forget all about it.
Well, it sounds good to
start
with.
Hold on, drop dead.
Bye.
I think you've got a novel nerve.
We're ending up the year very well.
You think you own this program?
No, we don't own this program.
Madam Mary, you have a cold?
Yes, awfully. I think it was out around the water pump last night.
Why don't you clear your throat before you sit down, then it will interfere with the music.
That's what I'll do.
Good. Now...
I like to sing a song that I wrote the day I was separated from the French Foreign Legion. It's a little thing, quite a story attached to it, I might add. I had been without water.
Story about it that would make it interesting to tell.
I had been without water for about 8 days, and I was walking across the desert. There was no one with me.
Mm-hmm.
All I had, thank goodness, was a magazine to read. I don't know what I would have done.
Well, that kept your mind off the heat, Harry.
I might add, it was a Popular Mechanics.
Well, I can't think of anything better to have in the desert than that.
What else?
A coronation?
Well, a year or so back.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down under an oasis, and I wrote this song. My eyes filled with tears as I thought of home and one thing and another. You can understand how it is.
And this song, as a result, tells a story, huh?
That's right, and I might add, if nobody reached me in time, I died out there.
Well, did the song get back to civilization, or was it lost forever?
Fortunately, a traveler came by, found it, and brought it home to America. And that's why it's one of the leading songs today.
Isn't that what?
Too bad I'm not here to enjoy it.
Well, I was sort of hoping you could with me, but...
Well, that's life.
Maybe next year you'll make it.
Certainly. Good luck to you, Bob, on your trip, and I want you to write to it.
Right, oh, we will.
So long.
And I hope you get work.
Hold up, steady. Any red-blooded men here?
No, I'm
going to hold up. I want somebody to go into the pass.
What for?
But hold up.
Oh, hold him down the bag.
Right away.
Well, come on.
Looks like a little party over that next tree.
Okay, let's ride.
Riding all that day and all that night, they came at length to a backroom saloon.
Hey, look at here. It's a backroom saloon.
Only it's backwards.
Right.
The backroom is in the front room.
Let's see if we can hear any of that backroom type piano music.
All right. No, I guess we can't.
Wait a minute. That's Gaylord Ravisnell playing that piano.
Sounds mighty like him.
General Ulysses S. Grant sent me out here to pick him up. All right, Ravisnell, come with me.
He's that three-eyed dandy, ain't he?
I don't want no trouble from you, Ravisnell. I've come prepared. I know you're armed. I heard your description on gangbusters.
Well, let's go and arrest him.
Come on, let's bring him over. Wait a minute. Get me down off the Santa mule here.
All right.
I can't do no pinching while I'm up on the horse's back.
Well, you have to get your thumb out of that stirrup
here. Yeah, you better hold up steady. Hold an ornery animal view.
Hey, here he is.
Let me down over here. I'm down.
Can't you stop him?
Get him now. I'll slide down. All right, Ravisnell, come along quietly.
I guess the jig is up.
All right, Dr. Ordway, how did you solve this amazing crime?
The culprit confessed. All right. All right, took him off to Scotland Yard, and we never heard from him since.
Did he pay the penalty to society?
Yes, I believe he did.
That's all right.
Yeah.
One thing, we can't
drop
have...
dead, is that what you mean?
We can't have crime pay on this program, and you know that, Bob. Let's take time out now to listen to the Berea College Choir, who are back commercially again.
The holidays of the new Fred D. Cole program, Crime Does Pay.
And, yes, and, as I was saying, the Berea College Choir, they've given up all this holiday cheer and so forth. They're back selling Mission Bell wine today.
Just back straight old Mission Bell.
So go ahead, fellas, let's hear it.
Just the other day, I heard a feller say, give me Mission Bell wine because Mission Bell's fine. Pardon while I raise up the money that I say, buying Mission Bell wine because Mission Bell's fine. Drink it better wine, enjoy it day or night. Here's the wine to tempt you, and the price is
right.
The price is right. The price is right.
Yes, and the quality is right, too. During the holiday, serve delicious, delightful Mission Bell wine. Your guests will be truly thankful for your very good taste.
Wait a minute. I just had a telegram. We've got to take that all back. The price isn't right.
Uh-oh.
They changed the price since we last had this.
Oh, well.
The one that's marked on there now isn't right. So we'll have to change it.
Okay, you fellas. Better change those prices. Make them right. But as I was saying, yes, sir, top quality wine at low, popular prices.
That's why it's every day you hear everybody say, give me Mission Bell wine because Mission Bell's fine, because Mission Bell's fine, because.
Produced by K. Eric Hagen Incorporated, California, New York, and Chicago.
I detected a slight pause there before the chorus came back in, as if they weren't quite sure whether they were supposed to.
I'd like to make this slight program announcement while I'm thinking of it. Hear me on my new show, The Hideaway Announcement, at 1:29.
And be sure that you watch that.
Yeah, it's a one-minute show. It's an announcement, really. Don't miss it. You'll love it.
Oh.
It's kind of a variety show.
Full of variety. It has
gay, lilting words.
No songs.
Punctuation.
It's a pretty good show. I know you won't want to miss it, that's all. That's all I can say.
All we can say now, but...
Fellas, do you have a two-minute arrangement or something real fast? Just a four-minute arrangement?
Play it in 2 minutes.
Do it. That's good.
Seriously.